Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Professor Jennifer Curtin. Morena, Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, Rachel.
How are you going under level two this morning?
Well, right now it doesn't really feel any different because we're still going to be teaching online mostly for the rest of the semester, so probably still a lot of work from home, but I'm really looking forward to going to a swimming pool and actually doing some laps.
That would be very nice.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I reckon. Hey, we're talking about Budget Day because that's the other sort of big thing that's happening today, is the government is announcing their budget. So let's just dive straight into it. What do you think we can expect today? We've been told it's going to be a jobs budget, and also Grant Robertson has said that this is going to shape the course of our finances for many years. So he's kind of setting it up to be a big thing here. What do you think we can expect to see from today, Jennifer?
Well, we've already had some announcements because this is what they do. They sort of put some big ticket items out there. So apparently the $4 billion that's going to health is close to one third of the new spend that will be announced. And of course, we'll remember that we've had the $12 billion on the economic response package. And before that, we had the $12 billion on the New Zealand upgrade program. So there'll probably be some discussion of the things that have already been put in place. But, you know, and there's the domestic violence package. It's got some funding announced already. So is the racing industry. And so has pay rises for early childhood education workers. But everybody's expecting some more in terms of the helping businesses manage. Like, there's still going to be some businesses that won't be able to open under level two. So how are they going to support those workers who will fall into unemployment should those businesses not be able to open, or the ones that don't have enough trade to keep all their workers on? So I would expect to see some in the area of unemployment beneficiary retraining, because they need to keep workers spending if we're going to get ourselves out of this economy. But as a non-economist, I would say I wouldn't want to try doing any more crystal ball on this, except I don't think everyone will be happy. And I think we're already seeing an overemphasis on physical infrastructure and not enough emphasis on the social infrastructure. So here we're talking about, where are the pay rises and the support for those who are doing the essential services in the care area? So lots of talk about construction and building and, you know, those sorts of shovel-ready Ministry of Works. That's a very male-dominated kind of approach to economic rebuild. We might want to just hear a little bit more about how they're going to support workers in the variety of care sectors that also yield economic benefits.
When we spoke to the Prime Minister yesterday, Jennifer, she said that, you know, students, young people, as part of the jobs market, can sort of expect to be looked after as well, is sort of what I took from how she was explaining it. What would you like to see as supports for young people? Because we're seeing huge unemployment for youth at the moment, and obviously you work in universities, you see a lot of young people in your job. What would you like to see for, like, the youth demographic through this budget, perhaps?
Well, people are talking about a desire to see the fees-free policy extended. So those young people who are looking to come to university because there are no jobs, or going into tech institutes, or looking to try apprenticeships, you know, it would be good if they didn't have a burden of a massive student loan from the outset. Clearly, it would be good to see StudyLink perhaps expanded in terms of who can actually access it already, and also, like, for the extra retraining. So we know at the moment that StudyLink doesn't really apply to those who are looking to get higher qualifications, but, you know, all higher qualifications, but we might see some of those students, those young people under 25, who actually need to come back and do extra study, they would need access to StudyLink. But also, you know, making sure that zero-hour contracts, that collective agreements, that the unions are given good access to workplaces to ensure those young people who are not in higher ed but are in, you know, really low paid jobs are being looked after in terms of not just wage and salary, but terms and conditions and the appropriate physical distancing.
I've been really interested in the way that this budget's been sort of talked about, because we heard a few people in the last kind of, I guess, month or so saying it's just going to be an interim step. It's just going to be, you know, what we need to get by. And then we've increasingly heard more and more that this might be a bit more of a legacy budget, something that this government's trying to really put their stamp on this period that the country and, I guess, the world as well is going through. Do you, I guess, you said you didn't want to do too much crystal balling, which I completely understand, but do you sort of have any hopes, I guess, for what this could be as a legacy budget as well? Are we seeing something like Peter Fraser's government coming through here? Is that going to be something you think we might see out of this?
I would have to say I'm not sure on that.
Mm.
So I think it's a really important budget for the government because they have an election in 4 months, and I'm not sure election budgets are legacy budgets. They're a kind of hip pocket, ensuring that when people go to the polls, they need to be able to say, yes, the government's done a good job, yes, they're managing the economy, and yes, I feel like I'm going to be okay for the next 12 months or thereabouts. So I think that will be, you know, that there'll be a sort of a tactical aim. Whether or not they're, I mean, they were already trying to move towards legacy building with their budget through the wellbeing budget approach. The language of wellbeing is not absent, but it's less present, you know, reducing child poverty. We're not seeing that language this time round. So while they're talking recovering together and it's, you get a sense of long term, I'm just not sure if we would call it a legacy budget. I think the legacy for them will be getting a second term and then potentially being able to continue to build. So it might not be like a Peter Fraser budget or a Social Security Act of 1938 kind of thing.
I just want to quickly touch on, before we let you go, Jennifer, we've also seen some slightly controversial, coronavirus laws being passed in regards to the police and their ability to search homes, private premises, and also marae as part of, I guess, keeping the country compliant with level two restrictions. And this has obviously come under quite a bit of fire because you don't have to have a warrant for this, and it will have long-term implications beyond coronavirus as well. Do you have concerns around this?
Yeah, I think there's been some really unfortunate process issues here. So we know the government's been really busy sorting out level 4, 3, 2 alert, but once they put those alert systems in place, they needed to have started looking at what legislation they needed to support level two. And they have there are so many issues around this, like the fact that they rushed it, that they cancelled the select committee for people's input, that they've had to change a lot of things at the last minute because they really hadn't even thought the wording through. So inserting marae there, taking it out, changing tahi tangita hanga, and funerals from 10 to 50. The warrantless aspect is a real concern, but they've put the 90-day sunset clause on it now, so this will be a bill or a measures that will have to be re-looked at every 90 days. And at this point, we have to be really grateful, I think, to the opposition, both ACT and National, for holding the government to account on this, and we would hope that they will continue to do this and not fall into a law and order, you know, crime-based narrative going forward with this and allowing those draconian measures to stay.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. It's been great to chat to you this morning. Heaps of big stuff happening for the country today.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk to you about next time we have you on. But I hope level two goes well for you and you get to get some swims in soon enough.
And you too, Rachel. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with